Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Launch University. Jeff Henderson here with you and David Farmer. Dave, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Jeff. It's always good to be with you.
And we've got our sound engineer, Shane Benson. He's waving to you, everybody. That's awesome. So we're very excited about our guest today. David, you actually interviewed Ford Fry. And just give us a brief description of how you got to know Ford and who he is. He's a fantastic restaurant launcher.
Yeah, well, Ford is arguably the hottest restaurateur in Atlanta. I don't want to tell too much of his story because he'll do a much better job, but he's got about 11 restaurants, all in Atlanta with the exception of one that's in Houston, which is actually where Ford was born and raised. But he has done an unbelievable job of creating concepts, getting them up and running, and they've been successful. He's launched as many as 5 restaurants in a year, which if you know anything about the business, when you're designing a concept from scratch, having to put the real estate deal together, build the team, craft the menu, just everything that comes with it, that's amazing. And all of them are really thriving. And the irony was, on the day that I interviewed Ford, he was opening another restaurant. I didn't even know that. But he's basically built a machine so that he goes, I don't even know that I need to be there right now. In fact, if I do, I think it's just going to make everybody nervous. So that was fascinating. So you'll get to know more about Ford's history, but really does a phenomenal job. Folks love his restaurants in Atlanta.
Yeah. And so regardless of whether you're in the restaurant business or not, and you probably aren't, the cool thing is that what you're going to learn from Ford is going to help you in whatever it is that you're having to launch, wanting to launch, dreaming to launch. And as David and Shane and I will tell you, you're really the hero of this podcast. We're just the guides. And so we want to help you take your intention, turn it into reality, and sustain it. And that's certainly what Ford Fry has done. So without further ado, here's David Farmer with Ford Fry.
Hey, everybody. This is David Farmer, and I am hosting Launch and Learn today. And I am really excited to have Ford Fry with me today. Ford's a good friend and an incredible restaurateur. And I gotta tell you, if you're not from Atlanta, you're missing out. Ford has what are arguably the hottest restaurants around Atlanta right now. Made quite a name for himself here in this town and the Southeast. He does have one that he's opened up outside of Atlanta in Houston. If you're in Texas, you got to check it out. But Ford, welcome. Thanks so much for coming and giving some time and talking about launching with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to begin by just getting you to talk about your business.
Yeah.
What's your business look like today? Give us a little bit of the background there.
Wow. Well, I started off as a chef and has, I guess, grown to more of a chef slash entrepreneur or chef restaurateur in a way. And pretty much opened one restaurant and, you know, worked that, you know, pretty long hours, I'd say, for at least about 5 years and really got that down. And
what was the name of that restaurant?
That was JCT.
Okay, so if you're in Atlanta, that's on the west side over off Howell Mill.
And we opened in 2007, which was just a year before the economy hit. And oddly enough, we were always seeing positive 10, 15, 20% year after year growth. So it was pretty exciting for us. So at that point, you know, investors were more likely or excited about doing more. So pretty much after that, since I'd say our second restaurant, number 246, and on the Decatur Square opened in 2012, and now we're at 10. So since 2012 till now, 2016, we've opened 10 more restaurants. So it's been pretty 5 of them last year, but it's been a pretty fun a couple of years, actually.
And I know you're not going to brag on yourself, so I'm going to do this, but I'm going to get you to back me up on some of this. These are restaurants that have opened to a lot of critical acclaim. They're very popular. They're doing well. I know one of those, The Optimist, when it opened, if I'm not mistaken, Esquire magazine called it the best new restaurant in America.
Yes.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorites for sure. And they've all just been really well received, and it's been a heck of a ride to see how popular your restaurants have come. And frankly, you've become as well, because chefs are hot these days. So I don't know if this is what you thought you were getting into, but you've been on quite a ride.
Yeah, I mean, I know that wasn't what I thought about when going, you know, back when I first started as a chef. Chefs weren't necessarily that popular. So over time, I think it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who are listening, this is incredible. Ford is actually opening up another restaurant today, the day we're recording this, in the Buckhead area of Atlanta. And so when we booked this, I had no idea that you had another restaurant opening, and you didn't even bring it up. I found out about that, and I'm going, how can you be here? I'm shocked that you're here when you've got a restaurant opening today. How's that possible?
Well, you know, I mean, I think my passion, and that was at the beginning in 2012, was really... It was really a passion, not necessarily about myself, but it was a passion about other people and giving other people, chefs in particular, the empowerment, coaching, mentoring, side-by-side, whatever we want to call it, and watching them grow in their career. And so over the past few years, I've been really fortunate to be able to see that and kind of see that through. So to be able to be here on an opening day, you know, I didn't really think much about it. I didn't really even think much about it, which is great, because it just kind of shows that this is not about me, you know, and it's about, you know, all the people that are working alongside of me. And, you know, and let alone, I think me popping in there on the first day is going to make people a little bit more nervous. So I may pop in there tonight or something like that, obviously. But for the most part, they're fantastic. And I think it just shows. It shows when you don't, when things aren't all about you, and you focus on others before yourself. It has been truly rewarding for me, and I wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, as many of you may know, I work with Chick-fil-A, and I can't imagine opening a restaurant and not being there. So I think that's incredible the way that you've begun to replicate yourself in your team. The team leaders that you've got. So congratulations on this opening. I'm excited about going. This is another restaurant called Super Rica, which is talk about it, kind of a Tex-Mex concept you've got.
Yeah, and I grew up in Houston, Texas, so Tex-Mex food was an every other day meal for us. We can eat it all the time if we like, and there was just a strong passion. And it really, I mean, I'm going to get back on the people thing again, but you know, I've always wanted to do Tex-Mex, and I've always craved Tex-Mex that I just miss by living in Atlanta. I mean, I think there's some places that are pretty good, but nothing like I really remembered. So Super Rica is a really kind of a play off of what you would find in Austin, Texas. And Austin a lot is about casual food. It's about live music. Mexican breakfast, Mexican all different, times of the day. So, but I really, how it launched was I have a chef, one of our vice president chefs, who's super, super talented guy, Kevin Maxey. He also grew up in Texas, and he came on. I brought him on to work along, side me, just to help me open these more upscale casual restaurants or even more upscale restaurants. And one day I noticed that I could just see in his face that he just wasn't this, he still hadn't found exactly what his passion and drive was. And we were on a trip together, and I said, "What is your passion?" He said, "Man, I don't know." I said, "A lot of it is his family and family time, and I don't see myself running a restaurant day after day." I said, "Well, let's do something where you can be over, see this whole business and, grow from a multiple." This is our third Tex-Mex restaurant, and he's been a key player in ensuring that, being from Texas, he also understands how to cook that. So he and I were kind of the only chefs in the company who knew how to do that. And I think we achieved that goal for him, just seeing him grow and take this brand, I guess, to a higher level. It's really been fun.
I want to go back in time and talk about the transition to becoming an entrepreneur, launching out on your own. You went to culinary school in New England. You worked in some really upscale restaurants. You were part of the Ritz-Carlton organization for a while. You worked for a company that did high-end prepared foods. And you said you opened JCT back around 07. What led you to deciding that you wanted to launch out on your own? And talk about that transition, because we've got folks that are wrestling with that kind of decision in their lives right now.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it pretty clearly. You know, as any chef, and you know, who knows? I mean, most, maybe there's other professions out there where everyone has this strong desire to have their own place, but very few actually are able to get there or decide to, you know, take that step outside to get there. And JCT was one where I knew I was ready. You know, deep down, I wanted to have a partner, and I kept saying that to my family. I'm like, I really want a partner. My family, you know, had been in business, you know, in different degrees as well, and they're like challenging that thought of a partner, and they're like, why do you need a partner? And I tried to make up some reason why I needed a partner, and I never won that argument. So finally, my brother-in-law was really the one that says, hey, listen, I'll hold your hand while you walk out that door, you know, and let's do this. And he pretty much went out on a limb and just did it. And he lives in Houston. So I was able to kind of do and make all the decisions that I needed to make. And, you know, once I did it, it was like, okay, this is not that difficult. I understand, you know, what the community wants. I feel like I understand what that neighborhood wanted, what the city wanted, and what made sense. So that was that. Once that happened, then I just started having a passion for people, and that just in turn turns into a passion of entrepreneurialism and trying to train them into being entrepreneurs as well.
So do you have any regrets at this point about starting out and launching?
Yeah, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I could have it any other way.
That's great.
I really think that strongly about it.
So think back. You're getting going. What were you most excited about, and what were you most worried about?
You know, it's an interesting question, because I was probably most excited about everything, all aspects of it, to see a project that I, you know, kind of concepted in my mind that I'm passionate about, and the, you know, whether using local farmers and cooking over burning wood and creating an experience is really overall what was the most exciting part and most gratifying part, as watching it kind of come full circle. And but the crazy thing is that what I was most nervous about was nothing, and that was what I didn't know. Didn't scare me. Looking back upon it, I should have been nervous. I should have been scared about everything, all aspects of what was going on, going into a crazy location, a location that was deemed a more of a cursed location, people had said.
Yeah, talk about that, because it's in an area of Atlanta that is really hot now. But it was not quite hot when you launched JCT. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, it was getting there. I think right when I think there was a couple restaurants that were there before me that pioneered it a little bit during a slower time. But for me, I think I got in at the right time. But I was in the back at that point in time. So that's why everyone, it was you have to go into the center and drive around the back. So everyone said that was just not a great location, but
no real visibility from the street.
No real visibility. But what kind of grabbed me was that the restaurant that had opened before us was very busy from day one. They just over time just could not execute in certain, for whatever reasons, and which that told me, because they were busy, people knew that spot. So I didn't let that bother me at all.
So you're in this first restaurant, JCT, about 5 years.
Yeah.
Is that right? Before
yeah.
you launched your second restaurant. What's happening during that time? I want to come back to what's happened since you opened the second, but what, talk about the days when it's just this one restaurant.
I think the first year was definitely me diving into all aspects, from the You know, of course, from the chef aspects to the business side aspects to the payroll to, I mean, every single aspect. I felt like I needed to know all aspects, and none of them were difficult. And then over time, as I kind of grew into it, we just slowly started farming out and empowering others to kind of take over, you know, certain tasks, as well as another chef who was my right-hand man, who's still with us and, you know, doing a fantastic job. And he, you know, me kind of, come year three or four, I was taking more of a bird's eye view, but was around every day, probably 6 days a week. You know, just watching and just not sitting around when, I mean, I guess it's just that owner mentality as far as maintaining and managing and growing and just looking at every little aspect from the light levels to the volume of the music to the cleanliness to, I mean, you name it. So I think over the, you know, that time was really important that I just kind of started the beginning of building some sort of a culture and philosophy and into how we do things and what we really stand for.
So it's fair to say that in those early days, there was very little going on in the restaurant that you didn't, at least from time to time, get involved with.
Yeah, my
every
hand,
function.
Yeah, I mean, I was touching every single thing, answering almost every question.
And you do that in part, I guess, out of necessity.
Yeah.
And then things begin to turn, and what I hear you saying is then you're able to bring in people, you start to replicate yourself, and you bring in other people that can take on leadership, and you share that.
Yeah, you know, my passion was more from to kind of create a chef-driven company where a lot of the decisions, a lot of the focal people, a lot of the people who were out in the forefront were the chefs. And so a buddy of mine, Drew Boleen, was working in town with a couple other restaurants, super high-end restaurants, where, and he had kind of pulled me aside, you know, at some point, you know, was interested in starting his own restaurant and wanted advice on certain things. And so when an opportunity came about, I immediately thought of him. I said, well, why don't I, this could be the beginning here. Let's bring him in. Let's make him, you know, he can invest a little bit of money. He can be a partner in this thing and he'll own it. And that's really what happened with 246. And he did. He owned it. And it's a fantastic restaurant. And, you know, since then, he still oversees that restaurant, but he's also overseeing every other restaurant as well. So it's been really a fun ride with him.
Talk a little about the timeline for growing your business after you opened 246, your second restaurant, because it's been pretty crazy lately.
Yeah. You know, I think that's where I brought in. There was one of my old bosses from years ago, back from Colorado. I worked for him in Colorado. I worked for him in Santa Barbara. And I was remembering him. I'm thinking, you know, I really wish we really need a COO. We really need someone. If we're ramping up this growth, we need to put all this infrastructure in place so that we can grow. And, you know, oddly enough, he popped up on LinkedIn and he had like an address like a couple miles from my house. And I thought that was just the craziest thing. So we met up at 246 and he, you know, he's back in town. He was finishing up his consulting thing he was doing. So he's come on and, you know, we just sat there and chatted for a couple hours about what he's like, Ford, what do you want to build? And I told him what I wanted to build and my passion for people and training people and teaching them how to become restaurant operators and restaurant owners and chefs. And he's like, okay. And then that was that. You know, we've started building the infrastructure. The infrastructure kind of was the vehicle that allowed us to, so we were never stretched by any means. So right now we're kind of growing into our infrastructure, if that makes sense.
You've had, I know the last 2 years, a lot of activity, opened how many restaurants in 15 and 16?
I would say that's in the six to seven restaurants. One of them was more of a consulting project, which did take some energy within the Four Seasons Atlanta. So, you know, not only was it a little bit difficult with operations, we also brought in-house design, which is also a difficult task as well. But we tried to bring everything in so we could kind of keep it, you know, at eyesight and move forward at a good pace. So.
and you've got a lot of momentum now. Do you feel like there's a certain level of activity as it relates to opening new restaurants or concepts that the organization can handle? And are you in a sweet spot, or you think you can do more, or you need to do less as you look ahead?
You know, I think we this year we called it a year of we purposefully held off on this year to really not have any openings. If maybe just one opening is really the only one we're going to do. You know, and our philosophy for this year was to get better versus bigger this year, and I think that kind of makes sense because we did a fast growth. Now it was time to kind of sit back for a year. Watch, hey, where do we land? You know, how can we polish things? How can we strengthen all the businesses? And really all that's going to do is just set us up for even faster growth, I'd say, but also to kind of determining how we grow and where we grow and why we grow.
So just not wanting to get too far ahead of yourself and potentially jeopardize all that you've built thus far.
Exactly.
Okay, good stuff. I got a lot more I want to ask you. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to split this up into two parts. So we'll wrap this part up. One, Ford, again, thanks so much for being part of the conversation, trying to help others that are interested in launching learn from your experiences. And if you're listening, we want you to come back and hear part two of the interview with Ford Fry.
Well, we're very, very grateful for Ford Fry and his willingness to share with us what he's learned. And David, we've asked our listeners and our community here at Launch University to take two or three or one or two insights away from Ford. So as you had that interview, what are a couple of insights you took away from your time with Ford?
Well, one would be a word of encouragement for our launchers out there. As you really develop your launch muscles, you're going to find it gets easier the next time you launch, release a new product, release a new idea, work on a new project, as evidenced by the fact that Ford wasn't even there the day at his new restaurant, the day we had the interview, because he's built a system. And so he's better at it. You'll get better at it too. You won't struggle as much the second time that you may have felt like you struggled the first time. That'd be one lesson. The second would be, I love how Ford talks about drawing inspiration from other sources that then go to inform the new restaurant concept he's creating. So challenge our listeners, where are you getting your inspiration from? Get outside your world a little bit. Who are you engaging with? What are you reading? What are you watching? Where are you going? What experiences are you having that are going to fuel the inspiration you need for your launch?
That's great. Well, we would love for you to encourage Ford and just say thanks. You can find him on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Atlanta area, you definitely need to go to a Ford Fry restaurant. And again, we hope this interview and these sessions with Ford have been very, very helpful for you. We hope you'll subscribe to the podcast, talk back to us, and we'll talk back to you. And David, we're just grateful they're along for the ride.
Absolutely.
So on behalf of Shane and Kevin and Dave Farmer and myself, we'll see you next time here at Launch University.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.